for joining us for
Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we'll be back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, in just a moment.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are looking forward to hearing your conversation today as we talk about finding your soulmate, how to overcome the fear of a broken heart, because often that's the reason why so many people do not connect in a way that is deep and fulfilling. So we'll be right back with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family to talk about finding your soulmate. And this February is often seen as the month where we celebrate love, and of course we're celebrating the history of the African American experience. So we'll be right back after this quick message, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And if you are joining us live on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments and give us some insight with your experiences. And, of course, our wonderful Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Robinson, says, "Grand rising, beautiful queen sister." Soulmates often appear when you least expect it. And that is true, because a soulmate is just that, someone who is drawn to your soul. And there's an unexplained attraction, because we are all life force energy. That's what our soul is. And we're magnets to each other. And someone who is vibrating on your same level is attracted to you because of the harmony in your vibration. So what we attract to us is someone who reflects to us what we are. A real soulmate is something you don't have to try so hard to make happen, because the attraction is natural. It comes from the soul. Many of us, because we haven't learned how to actually listen to the voice of our soul, we keep getting the wrong people in our lives, and as a result, we have experiences that are not pleasant. Many are aware that during these times, what we're seeing is a transformation of the earth itself. And what we're experiencing is the reshaping and redevelopment and remaking of all of the human experiences. They are being transformed to project their highest form of that experience. So if it's the experience of love, our love relationships are being transformed to that highest form, which is the unconditional love of the Creator. And that which we thought was love, that we've been practicing, control over others, ownership of others, rights over others' emotions and feelings and behaviors and beliefs that we should own people, control people, suppress people. None of those things are love. Those things are coming from fear. And the opposite of love is fear, because fear is
the absence of trust, the belief that there's something dangerous or hurtful going to be perpetrated by that other person. So if you fear they're going to cause you emotional pain, you cannot love them. Love is total trust. And often, if we have not experienced what love feels like, we don't know how to reproduce that feeling. So this is why our childhood experiences are so critical in the creation of successful relationships later in life. When we can't trust the ones closest to us, we can't learn what love feels like. How can you trust the one who you depend on when at any moment they may cause you pain, physical pain, such as hitting, slapping, pinching, if they don't like something you did? So that form of child rearing actually creates a being who cannot trust, because you're always fearing that the one you depend on for love is going to hurt you, saying things that make you feel bad, calling you names, stupid, fat, skinny, ugly, lazy, things that make you feel like you're not worthy of love. So if the one you depend on for love hurts you emotionally, how do you know what love truly feels like? Because what you have to fear is the one that you need love from is going to hurt you by making you feel unlovable by the things they say or the things they do to you. Our relationships with our parents are what teach us what love feels like. And if the one that we depend on or the ones that we depend on hurt us, then we'll be believing that love hurts, and love does not hurt. So in these times of upheaval in many people's lives, what they're learning is what love is and what love isn't. And some of the relationships that were not based on the highest form of love, which is the unconditional acceptance of another being, some of those relationships are having difficulty staying together. And they're either going to transform into a higher expression or they're going to dissolve. And that's everything that's happening on the earth, even our institutions. Every institution is either going to transform into a higher form of its expression, or it's going to dissolve. Many people are aware that the earth is going through a transformation, an energy shift, in which it is going to exist in a higher form. That heaven on earth, that new earth that the scriptures are promising, which means everything that isn't in alignment, isn't in harmony with that higher form, is going to fall apart. So this is why we're seeing our institutions appearing to fall apart. Even our financial institutions. If the way we are interacting with each other in terms of our trading, our sharing, our providing for each other's needs, if it isn't based on its highest form, which is service to others, not power over others, either it's going to transform or it's going to dissolve. So if we're seeing institutions appear to fall apart, it's a good thing, because they're being transformed to their highest expression. Our educational institutions, those schools that have been based on preparing children to be controlled and suppressed for the rest of their lives, rather than helping them expand their minds and express their creativity so they can give service to their fellow beings in a way that's beneficial. Institutions not based on these things are falling apart. That's why the school systems are falling apart. So we're seeing that people are now creating different ways of teaching, different ways of helping children to learn, different things to teach the children so that they may actually be learning about the world, the universe, the earth, and all of its systems, and how to work in harmony with them, how to enhance them for the well-being of all life on our home, this earth. Any education system that isn't based on its highest expression is falling apart. It's disappearing. It's being revealed for the uselessness that it is, so that we can change it. At the core of everything, what we always say is our personal relationships, our love relationships, our intimate relationships. We have struggled with relationships for eons of time. We're here to love. And we're here to enjoy love. And when we find true love, we blossom. We thrive. We're in the best of health. We're in a state of bliss. And this is what we came to experience. So those relationships that are perhaps based on fear, fear that I can't take care of myself, so I need to have someone take care of me. Fear that someone's going to abandon me. Fear that I'm not pretty enough. Fear that I'm going to lose everything that I have. Fear that I'm not going to have the status that I want. Fear and not the love from the soul. Those relationships are being challenged right now, because we're being in close quarters with the person that we think we love. And we're being faced with ourselves and what's really on the inside of ourselves. So if we are insecure, self-hating, we're going to see that reflected in our relationships. And we're going to experience the conflict that comes from lack of self-love. What is that acronym? FLY. First, love yourself. So when our love relationships reveal to us that there's something that's been holding us together that isn't love, we're either going to transform that relationship or it's going to end. Because what we came here to do is to experience love in its highest form, unconditional, eternal, everlasting. Doesn't mean the person is perfect. It means we have learned to accept them for what they are as they evolve into their highest self. And we've chosen to be that soulmate that will be with them during their life journey, as they grow and become. We are all becoming. Love Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. It says so much. We're constantly becoming. It's a never-ending journey. And so when your soul comes here, you come to experience. And it's a wonderful thing when you find someone who's willing to share that experience with you, to be your companion on your soul's journey. And that is your soulmate. And you might have different soulmates throughout your life. One may transition and you might find another, or You may simply find that there are several people with whom you're going to share this journey, and they're going to help enhance who you are becoming. But you first need to learn to trust, because if you can't trust, you can't love. And if the one who taught you how to love, your parents, if the ones who reflected to you what love is hurt you, then you're going to have to relearn what it really means to love. So we want you to join us in this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will certainly come right to you and get your thoughts. We're going to share some of the wisdom of those who are featured on the on-air network, on the Global Transformers, those who are sharing wisdom through this wonderful tool of the internet, because many are being guided to share wisdom during these times. These are times of transformation, and our love relationships are what are going to get us through these challenges. Many people are not aware of why we're going through the challenge, and it's for the purpose of exposing to us that which needs to be transformed to its highest form. Our love relationships, our parenting relationships, our professional relationships, these need to be transformed to reflect the loving energy of the Creator. Right now, they're based on fear, based on lack. That's why we have the poverty that we have, because so many people believe there's not enough. There's not enough for everybody, so I have to grab from others. I have to take from others. Those who have wealth and hoard more than they can possibly use in a lifetime are just as fearful as those who are impoverished, believing they must steal from others because there's not enough. It's the same mindset, a belief in lack, when in fact the earth is abundant. That's why when you recognize the abundance of the earth, you can share, because you know it's always going to come back to you. This is why our financial systems are being transformed, to reflect a philosophy of sharing. And we're going to see more new forms of trading and exchange that are based on a principle of sharing because of the new understanding that's coming to us, that there is no lack. There's enough for everyone to live in abundance. And the old ways are going to slowly disappear, or maybe even rapidly disappear, because our thought has changed. And so rather than us withholding from others, we are willingly giving and sharing and exchanging because there's enough for everyone. It's a new understanding that's going to bring about the new earth. Grand rising to our dear sister, Jody. And, of course, yesterday's show was powerful. We had such powerful shows here. If you miss it, go back in the archives, www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. And listen to those shows. We're on a multiplicity of platforms. You can listen to us on our Blog Talk channel, on our Facebook pages. All of our hosts, their Facebook pages. We also have the Female Solution Facebook page, which you're watching right now. And then we're on LinkedIn. We're on all the many platforms. You can hear us on the on-air radio TV network. And, of course, you can always go back into the archives to hear the shows that you may have missed so that you can benefit from the wisdom that's been shared. Our purpose is to raise consciousness so that we can assist in the transformation process. You can hear us on Podbean, another audio platform, and when we share again our weekly lineup, you'll see the montage of all of our platforms. So, of course, from Monday to Sunday, we share these insights because even our healthcare systems are being transformed. Rather than based on fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of deterioration, the new systems are based on regenerating the energy of our life force, regenerating the cells in our bodies, because we're made to regenerate. We're made to self-heal. Our bodies are made to constantly regenerate so that we don't age. The knowledge of this is being shared so that we may change our sick care system into systems of healing. Because this is what's happening on the new earth. It's based on love and not fear. Love of life, love of each other, not exploiting each other's fear of sickness. And yes, we're also on YouTube, Spotify, and Alexa, all of these platforms. Thank you, Jody. And of course, she says, death is easy. Healthy living takes a higher consciousness. Yes, things are changing. Absolutely. Because death is kind of like giving up, not believing that things will get better, and not believing that we're worth the effort to make them better. So our shows are based on enhancing life, starting out with Monday morning mindfulness, being aware of how you're feeling and knowing how to ingest the breath of life that can regenerate life. Tuesdays, self-cell care. We are made up of cells that regenerate life all the time and store information. So we need to know how to regenerate that life in the cells of our bodies. Wednesdays, of course, we're healing broken relationships because at the foundation is that love relationship that brings forth new life and enhances our sense of well-being and spreads forth into families and groups of families to form our global family. Thursdays, we hear soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, making that understanding of mind, heart, spirit, those emotions that cause us to be down in spirit because we're thinking thoughts that create depression and grief and sadness, overcoming these feelings and healing the soul, because that is where the injury actually is. And, of course, Friday, health and well-being with Vianna. Understanding how to use those natural means of transforming our bodies as opposed to simply treating the symptoms of an illness in a way that exploits us and exploits our fear of death. So rather than live in fear, we can live in joy. This is what we learn every Friday. And, of course, Saturday, we've got a wonderful team of Saturday hosts. First Saturday, Jana brings us wonderful insight on nonviolent communication so that we can learn to use those words that bring an end to conflict and an understanding. So we have success strategies with Jana every first Saturday. Second Saturday, of course, we've had an opportunity to do some wonderful things, and we'll be having our relationship expert, attorney Wendy Williams, back with us to give us some insight on how to recognize when perhaps someone is too wounded to be in a relationship. They need to heal, and they need to heal by themselves, and we need to not try to make them be in a relationship when they're not ready so that we don't get injured from the pain that they're struggling to overcome. How to recognize those signs when someone is fit or unfit to be in a personal relationship. And her years of work as a family law attorney has given her much insight, and we look forward to her coming back. And also, of course, as she grows in her professional career, seeking to even be a judge to help those who are striving to come to a fair resolution of their relationships. She's seeking to help in the healing process in a way that is just and fair, and we appreciate her and her journey that she's sharing with us. And the third Saturday of the month, let's move around with Deborah as she takes us beyond our comfort zone and beyond our areas of familiarity so that we can travel, meet our global family, and enjoy the experience of new cultures, new scenery, new food, new ways of enjoying culture and experiencing the creativity of other people and appreciating the differences. And are we ready to join our American Muslim 360 family now?
Yes, we are.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our wonderful co-host, Kareem Hamid. And
Naima,
yes.
You are dialed into the studio board. I don't see your number on the studio board.
We're in earlier. We'll dial in now. We'll see you in a minute.
I want to thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
We thank you. Well, all right. And we're so grateful to be connected to our American Muslim 360 blog talk channel, which brings us a multiplicity of listeners that have been with us since 2012 when we began. We're about to enter into our 10-year celebration here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we're certainly enjoying all of you who assist in sharing your insight. And our fourth Saturday of the month, we hear wisdom with Mama D. And she brings her wisdom as an elder, as a teacher, an educator. Wisdom, of course, standing for Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood. preparation, because that position of mother is so critical to our emotional well-being. And so that's our quick lineup. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and again remind you of, be sure to call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and we'll be right back. And, of course, Jody reminds us that it's so important to heal broken relationships, and we can renew the cells when we heal the relationship, because the cells in our body are affected by the energy that we project from our emotions. We're all connected. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Okay, so now, all right.
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. I apologize for my starting this morning. I had my phone, my clock set, but it was on PM instead of AM. And it did not go off, unfortunately.
Unmuted.
But I'm grateful to be here with you this morning, and to join my co-host Naima Latif. Inshallah, I see her mic is open. Assalamu alaikum, Naima Latif.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's always a joy to hear your voice every Wednesday morning, and we thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's good to be heard. Praise be to Allah. We are experiencing a large snowfall here in St. Louis. Yeah, we had rain almost all last night, and I think it has turned to ice. So everyone is hunkering down, including me. Praise to Allah.
Well, I'm
yes.
So glad.
I was listening to your wonderful comments earlier concerning the ability to share, how that would solve a lot of our human problems. We have moved into another stage in our life, in our existence, where it's going to become very essential that we share. We are in a global community now, universal community now, and we're so interconnected, especially our global economies and other interests. What that does is that if I do something to negatively affect your economy, my economy is going to feel it, because it's so interwoven. We're so interwoven globally. So that it becomes unnecessary. It would almost be like committing financial suicide to try to wreck your economy, and we're all one global family, one global economy. Yeah. And I believe that is morphing into other other areas of our life also. We're so connected that what I say can be heard all, you know, what any of us say can be heard all over the world in a split second over the internet and these other social platforms.
So I
believe that that interconnectedness will somewhat force us to begin to share, to begin to accentuate the positive, because it will affect my life and my existence to accentuate the negative. I'm too connected to you now, you know? So
yeah.
I think as a natural consequence, we're going to have to reform in our thinking everything that we have depended upon as a staple for our life. I'll stop right there, my sister. That is a wonderful commentary I heard you saying, and that is where my mind went.
Yeah.
That we are so universally connected, it becomes imperative that we share. It becomes imperative that we accentuate that which is good, because it will affect me, because I'm so interwoven into everyone else's life, economies, families, name it. We're all connected now. So I believe the Creator has created this. He has took us to this point in our lives where it is imperative that we accentuate the positive, because it will affect my life and the life of others. I think he has done that, and we are there, whether we realize it or not. And we just have to reform our thinking and get with what Almighty God has programmed for us, the ability to share and act as one human family.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it, all of the wise teachers that have come among us, the spiritual teachers that have tried to guide humanity in a way of life that would be harmonious, have tried to convey this understanding that you are connected to all life, and therefore you must want for your brother and sister what you want for yourself. They've taught these things over and over and over again, but many just couldn't grasp the understanding that if I hurt someone else, I'm going to be hurting myself. So now we have this very vivid demonstration of our interconnectedness. We have a virus that's being passed through the air, and now everybody is terrified that someone else is going to breathe on them and send them a virus. But what we needed was a demonstration of the reality that always existed, is that we're all connected. So I should want my neighbor to be healthy because I care about my neighbor. But now people are concerned, I don't want you to get sick because you might make me sick.
Yes.
But truth, this is the reality all the time. If someone else is suffering, just like I shouldn't want my neighbor's house to catch on fire because my house might catch on fire. But I really should not want my neighbor's house to catch on fire because I don't want my neighbor to burn up. I mean, the reason for my concern should not be selfish, but ultimately, we should also understand that if my neighbor is hurting, eventually I am going to be hurting. So I should care about them because it's going to affect me. So
you know,
we need to understand that principle that I and my neighbor are one and the same. Whatever's happening to them is happening to me. We all breathe in the same air. If a storm comes and dumps on St. Louis, well, that same storm is headed toward Chicago. So if the people in St. Louis need some emergency assistance and the people in Chicago have some emergency trucks and salt that they can send them, and they should do that. Because when the snowstorm comes to Chicago, they're going to need to call out to some people to help them. And if the St. Louis people can't help because they're under snow and we didn't help them, then who are we going to get to help us? So it's the same principle. We're all one. We've got to care about each other. We're all going to be affected. We're all living on the same earth. So therefore, it makes no sense to hurt anybody. All these years we've been sending bombs to other places. Don't you know that the poison we're putting in that air we're going to be breathing it the very next 24 hours? So why would we do that? And it's taking so long for us to figure it out. You can't hurt anyone without hurting yourself. So these are
God says to us, he has communicated this message to us, that heaven and earth will come together willingly or unwillingly.
Yeah.
Whether you see what I'm saying? He has created. He has designed the condition. Whether you like it or not, he's not he's not begging us and all of that. No, you are going to do it willingly, or even if you're unwilling, you are aware that you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Your heart may not be with this. Your mind may not be with this. But you do know one thing, that if you hurt me, it's like hurting yourself. If you hurt my child, it's like hurting your child also. So Almighty God have created that paradigm. When I say heaven and earth, I mean the haves and the have-nots, the educated and the uneducated, the those that we consider in the best environment and the best condition. It is paramount now that everyone be educated,
absolutely,
not just a handful, not just a few.
Right.
So this will happen over time, like it or not. They will come together willingly or unwillingly.
Right. I mean, you think about what benefit is it to have a bunch of people who don't know anything, and you need people who have skills to help you. So if you're, well, I mean, look at it now. If you're in a neighborhood and houses are falling apart and nobody knows how to use a hammer and a nail and a saw to fix a house, how is that benefiting? You know, how is it benefiting taking away the knowledge of how to taking things like wood shop and auto mechanics out of the schools? How does that benefit us when you need people to fix your house and your car? You know, how does that make no sense? So the whole thing is to give people the skills that they need because you're going to need them to help you. Everything that we're experiencing now is a consequence of the decisions that we made that were unloving, that were not based on sharing, and we're feeling the consequences of those decisions so that we can choose to make better decisions. And Jody is adding a comment. She says, yes, and if you hurt yourself, you hurt others too. That is true. So you can't hurt anyone unless you realize you can't hurt anyone without hurting yourself. And this is what we're experiencing, the consequences of us doing things that hurt other people. And now it's coming back to us so we can see what we've done and we can choose to do something different. And Viata speaks of grand rising. Viata, yes, we've got all of our stars on the microphone here. And, you know, one of the things that, and I'm very grateful to be alive in these times, one of the things that is helping us to see is the behavior of our young people. Everybody's in a state of despair. And I had a conversation with a couple of friends of mine yesterday, and they were saying, well, the problem with these children, they didn't get enough beating. You know, anybody beat their behind. And I thought, well, if someone who is in pain receives more pain, what does that do? That makes them go out and give more pain. So what we're going to need to learn how to do, as my sister Asada always says, we need to raise our skills and not our hands. Our children are acting because they're in pain. They have not been given love. And so they're giving the pain that they received. And we're thinking, well, if we give you more pain, then you'll stop. But that's not the answer. That's why more jails have not produced safer streets. We need to heal the hurt inside the child that is expressing pain. And so if we can recognize what it is we're seeing, then we can heal the hurt and remove the pain. And therefore, our children will not be giving us back the pain that we sometimes unknowingly gave them. We send them to a hostile school environment where they're treated hatefully and scornfully and humiliated and put down and taught nothing of value. And their creativity is suppressed, and they're angry. They're sent back to homes where they're neglected and ignored because parents are focused on other things that they believe they need to do. And everybody's looking to electronic devices for amusement, and the love is missing. And so our children are giving us back the artificial, lacking in love environment that was given to them. Because they're in pain. If we can recognize that they're in pain, then rather than punish them for being in pain, we can give them what they're missing, which is love. And that means us having
that
understanding.
That is so true, Naima. That is so true. You know, I believe you and I had a broadcast, I believe it was 1 month last year. Not sure what week it was, concerning the mindset of punishment through physical assault. The idea, the subject matter was domestic violence, and we have been, matter of fact, it's not just us, it's not just the African American, it is the whole system has been designed whereby corporal punishment, physical assault will be the result of someone not conforming
yes.
to what we have, what we believe is the right way. The indigenous people of this country, they were shocked when they saw Europeans beating and whipping their children. That was unknown to them. That was unknown to them. That was a whole new environment, dichotomy. They loved their children, and they loved the elders. The children had great respect for all of the tribes. They had a great respect for the elders. Although they had their tribal warfare and all of that, but the very nucleus of it, the relationship with their children, it was a loving, teaching, nurturing, evolving relationship. And us being brought here with no idea of our past life erased, then we followed what was done to us. But any infraction, you could be almost beat to death. Any small infraction. And so we had nothing else to model ourselves after. So this it's not just this country. It's other countries also. As I say, we have to reform everything. That lack of love for our children. Matter of fact, this nation is concerned because the country of China is making great strides as a world power on this earth. I watched a special on China, their present leader was against the, you know, when China had shut down and they got rid of all of the professors and all of that, they were going to have collective farming. He was against that. But things changed, and now he was placed in a position of power, and he advocated the full education for peasants, anybody, full education. And the population was so great. They were so, I mean, they just, the schools were crowded. The universities were reopened. And education became the number one priority. And they were successful at educating their children. And now, look, they are leaders in the world of science, technology, engineering, math. Now, I have problems with their human rights. They've got a long way to go on that. But I'm still saying that they made sure, they shored up their educational system, and we have not done that in this country. We have not done that. And we are far behind. Far behind. Oh, yes, we can make bombs, but that will not be the deciding factor in this future, in this world that we're in now. We have to import brain power. We have to import people from Asia to run our systems. We have to, now there is a great push to show, if we do not, if this country fails to truly educate all of its citizens and put money where it needs to be into the educational system, this nation will not be the number one so-called superpower on the earth. It is science. It is technology. It is knowledge that designates one's position on this earth. It is the leadership in science. Our phones, our computer systems, we are dependent on others to make sure that those systems run. So it becomes imperative now that that we look at our children differently, that we have harmed ourselves by not educating our children. And now you see there's an all-out effort coming from this administration advocating the importance of STEM education. Why? Because we are way behind. You should see how China looks now. I mean, it looks like a country of the future. It is something else. And they have a burgeoning, very bright middle class and others. So it is important that we begin to share and how we treat our children. Our children are only a reflection of how we have treated them. And we didn't know. We didn't know. We just followed what we saw was being done. But we know now. We have to repair that rift.
Yes. It's interesting that you made the observation about the way Europeans beat their children. If we can understand the mindset of someone who is abused, they become an abuser because that's what they were taught. So if you have people who are raised with hostility and violence, that is what they perpetrate on other people. So that mindset of cruelty, and it's not just European, but if we're going to look at a period in history after the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, where there was so much violence, so much warfare, so much cruelty happening in Europe. And then there was a renaissance of thought, but there also was the remnants of that cruelty, the kind of culture where children were beaten. And when you have been raised with cruelty, you become cruel. So bringing that out of Europe into the rest of the world and encountering other people, you bring with you the culture that you have. And it's just like a child who's beat by their parents at home and bullied bigger, stronger parents and crushed and made to feel fearful. That child then looks to other children that they can beat down, and that child becomes a bully. This is what we experienced in people coming out of Europe, raised in that kind of a culture where children are beaten. They're looking to see who they can bully, who they can beat down, who they can control. And that's the origin of all of these race-based policies of oppression of other people. It's coming out of the hearts of people who had been abused as children, what they created in terms of cultures of oppression of other people.
That is so true. You know, when the Renaissance, the age of enlightenment, and you are so correct, in world history that there is a period of time known as the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. It was as if the human being had taken huge backward steps on the way of human development. And the prophet Jesus foretold that. He foretold that according to Christian scripture. It is reported that he has said that there shall be three dark periods that will envelop the people. Three dark periods. And when he was able to make that because of the rejection, of them rejecting the essence of his message, of not just loving everyone, but also educating,
yeah,
education. It was against the law. If someone came up with a principle that did not agree with the ignorant leadership, they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
They were thrown in prison and killed because of introducing the scientific principles. It is with the coming of the Quran that brought the age of enlightenment, that connected the human being back to science, technology, studying the creation. And from that came an explosion of science. Now, they accepted the educational, academic part, but they did not fully embrace the moral side of what came with the Quran. The moral side. Spain enjoyed its best history under Muslim rule. I believe it was 500 centuries of science, universities being opened in Cordoba, Spain. People were being educated, but out of jealousy, and I'm going to say this, out of jealousy, the Christian leadership began to wage war on the Muslims, to wage war on them, the Crusades. And when we hear of the Spanish Inquisition, read what took place under their rule in Spain. The Inquisition was a group of so-called clergy and government that they would question you on certain principles. If you believed that the earth revolved around the sun, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you believe that the soul is created pure and clean, many great thinkers were killed. The Spanish Inquisition was cruel and brutal. But over time, they adopted the scientific principles, but left off the moral side, the moral message, as they did with Christ, and as they attempted to do with what came from the Quran, the knowledge, the enlightenment. Man began to move down the road of science, technology. Look, before the Quran, there was no TVs, no radio, no internet, no automobiles, no planes, no all of these wonderful devices that we are enjoying now came from out of Almighty God opening up the mind. To apply the scientific principles once more. Look into the creation. There is much benefit there. And we are experiencing that. But we have to bring the balance now. There has to be moral discipline that accompanies that. Else those things will become a curse to us.
Understanding to have. If things are not used with the right spirit, they become a curse. Just like the knowledge that we're experiencing, if we're of a mindset to try to weaponize everything and try to use it as a means to control people, then we're going to be right back into another dark age. We got to take another quick break, Brother Kareem. When we come back, we'll explore that thought, because we're either going to ascend to a higher consciousness, or we're going to see ourselves go back into a dark age, depending on what we choose to do regarding sharing and loving our fellow human beings and all life with whom we share this planet Earth. We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've got some wonderful people that are joining us on our Facebook page, The Female Solution. And, of course, if you're on our switchboard, feel free to press 1. We'll come to you and get your thoughts. Got a few calls on the switchboard we'll come to. And we'll talk about love. How do you learn how to love if you have not seen it in your home, if you have not experienced it? How do you learn how to express it in a way that is healthy and uplifting and transformative for your life and the lives you touch? That is the answer to every problem we have. Love is the solution to everything. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us.
Muted.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Global radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, self-care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesday, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursday, social solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Friday, health and well-being with Diana. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Set Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. And we are back. You're listening to and
watching
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family on Blog Talk. And we appreciate your involvement in our daily discussions. One of the wonderful things about having an audience every day that so many people get a chance to interact. But also, you know, we've got a lot of people working from home, a lot of people with businesses, and perhaps they're not able to get out and be mobile. And we provide you a platform where you can reach the people. So we're, of course, going to be sharing even more businesses and enterprises and products and services for those people who might even be first-time entrepreneurs, those who have decided, you know what, I want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to go back to that office. I'm enjoying being at home. If you're laid off, hey, I'm enjoying creativity. I think I want to make a living doing my crocheting or my painting or I got this recipe. I'm going to figure out how to market these cakes that I bake. I'm going to find a way to work from home doing what I love, serving in a way that I enjoy and making a living. Well, we're giving you this opportunity, of course. 7 days a week, we're here speaking to wonderful people around the world, and we're going to give those who have decided to benefit from this time of transformation by working from home and spending that time with their children while they do the thing that they love, we're going to give them an opportunity to help it pay off for them. So we'll talk more about that
in the next few days. And, of course, we are seeing a transformation in our global economy. It's more sharing-based. We're going to share with you systems like QuickClick, where you're benefiting from other people's spending. And as more people begin to get inspirations of how to change the way we interact to make it one in which we're all benefiting, then we'll begin to see the earth transformed. As long as we're living in systems of selfishness where you're trying to keep people from getting knowledge, trying to keep certain people from being able to live in a home, and trying to keep certain people from being able to get schooling, and trying to keep certain people from getting skills, we're all going to suffer. As long as we're not sharing, we're going to suffer, and that's what we're doing right now. The increase in crime and violence is reflecting to us that we did not share. We did not share love. We did not share opportunities. We did not share experiences of joy with those who are giving back to us the hatefulness that they experienced, so that we can understand we need to change. We don't need to lock people up that we've hurt. We need to stop hurting them. It's just that simple. When we stop hurting others, they'll stop hurting us. That's how it works. That's how all of the spiritual masters have explained it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So simple. So, Brother Kareem, you know, we introduced a thought this morning about relationships. Our relationships, the personal relationships that we look to be fulfilling, and our need for connectedness and love and fulfillment, when they're based on total trust, they can be beautiful experiences. But if they're based on selfishness, I'm going to control you, I'm going to make you do things for me, I'm going to hurt you if you don't, those don't bring the kind of spiritual transformation, the kind of ecstasy and joy that we and our souls would like to experience. Is necessary is for us to correct at the foundation our belief about what love is. And so many people are thinking love is me telling you what to do and you doing what I tell you. Love is you, is me controlling you and owning you and keeping you in a state of fear. And none of those things are love. Because love is freedom. We're experiencing what love is, and we're experiencing what love isn't. And we experience what love isn't so that we can see what non-love looks like and feel what it feels like, so we can choose to not do unloving things, because love doesn't hurt. Just like when your body is hurting, the natural state is health and well-being. If you're experiencing other than that, that means something is out of balance, something happening that's incorrect. You're not supposed to be in pain. Pain is not the natural state. Absence of pain is the natural state. It's the same thing with a relationship. If hurting, it's not love. So if you have a parent that beat you and said, I'm doing this because I love you, they've taught you incorrectly. Love does not hurt. If I want you as a child to understand something, then I teach you. I don't beat you. And as you said, we learn that behavior by people who did that to their children in their own ignorance. It's ignorance that makes us do things. And when we learn better, we should do better. Spiritual teacher comes and shows us how to love. We should emulate what they do. And when they are kind and loving and sharing and giving and forgiving, that's what we should be emulating. No spiritual teacher ever showed people how to be hateful. They showed you how to love, because that's why we're here. So in our personal relationships, if you see someone and you're attracted to them and you desire their companionship, and perhaps they don't share that attraction. Now, we have seen people do strange things and hurting someone as if you should have the right to hurt someone that doesn't behave the way you want them to behave. That doesn't make any sense. You can't force someone to love you. We've had cultures where there have been forced child marriages, forced arranged marriages. In China, before they became much more enlightened, they would break the feet of the girl children. So if she's given in marriage to someone, she can't leave because she can't walk. She can't run away because she can't walk. We've got, not to pick on China, because we've had cultures in East Africa where the idea was, well, if a woman can't feel anything sexually, she won't be unfaithful. So they would cut off female circumcision, cut off the most part of the woman's genitalia so that she could not feel. And that was to keep her from being unfaithful because she didn't have any capacity for sexual pleasure. It was some cruel things that we did. The human family did. So if the idea is I'm going to make you stay with me by removing your capacity to choose to leave, that's not love. That's not love. Love is from the heart, the soul, the free will. You stay with someone because you choose to, not because you can't leave, because you can't support yourself. And this is what the reason for not educating women in many cultures evolved from. Well, if you don't have the skills to earn a living, you can't leave me. So we had so many cultures where women were kept uneducated out of fear that if they had the means to leave a man, they would leave. So relationships were based on fear, fear that I can't support myself, so I'm going to stay with this person even though they're treating me badly. That's not love. So what has to happen in transforming our relationships to the highest form of love, unconditional love, committed love, love that comes from the heart, love that is of the free will? We have to remove the fear factor, which means we have to remove the practices of not allowing people to grow and develop and evolve and learn and create. All the things we spoke about, keeping people from being educated because we fear that if they know more than us, they'll get more than us and they'll have more than us and they'll take our things and we won't have. No. If everybody is given access to the capacity to learn and explore, then everybody will be able to enhance the lives of everybody else because they'll have knowledge, they'll have skills, they'll have something they can share with other people and benefit other people. It's the same principle in relationships. You want someone who can evolve into their best self, not someone who has to stay with you because they can't afford to leave because they don't have skills. So that imbalance between male and female has been going on for so long, and it's been hurtful and not loving. Experience love when you're trapped in fear. love is trust. So if I am at my best, my most creative, my most productive, and I meet someone who is also at their best, their most creative, their most productive, and we are benefiting each other, then we are able to enhance not only our lives, but the other lives that we touch. So the idea is for us to be our best and not be afraid that if someone had the choice, they would leave us, because that thought comes from our fear that we're not good enough. I believe we've reconnected with our co-host. And we'll have an opportunity to take a look at what love is and what love isn't. And many of us who've had experiences have learned something from those experiences. So I'm going to go to our phone lines. And last week we had our men's discussion, and the men talked about their relationships, lifestyle, family.
Kareem.
And
Kareem.
Did we lose Kareem?
That's on Naima's side. Just open your mic.
Okay. Are you able to hear me? Yes, we want to make sure we can hear our co-host. Well, as we work on our sound issues, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we'll hear from our caller, 312-671. Hold on, we'll come to you next. And we're going to be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Come straight away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution, Global Radio
Kareem,
TV, to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central
Kareem.
Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions, Dr. Debbie Gray. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. Saturday, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m.
Okay, Central. Can you hear me now, Kareem?
Success.
Yes, my God. It's getting out of hand, Mark.
No, it's on her end. I stayed in the mute room in the green where I have the host seat. That keeps your mic open. Huh?
Yeah. Well, have you opened up our mics?
No, I mean, your mic was open and her mic was open. But I'm saying on her end, on her.
Okay.
It's on her switchboard.
Are we, can you hear me now?
Go back into the live, Kareem.
Are you able to hear me now?
Go back live, Kareem.
We want to make sure our co-host can hear. As we continue our discussion, well, let me go to our phone line, 312-671. I believe we've got our dear brother, Minister Robert Floyd Plump, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on The Female Solution. We're looking at relationships, and, you know, Minister Plump, a lot of people were raised during an era that really didn't us how to be successful in relationships. Many of us grew up in families that we had people who may have stayed together out of financial necessity. We had some people who stayed together out of fear of social ostracism or condemnation if they split. And so the next generation was more apt to get divorced, which is always very painful. Somehow we have to learn how to resolve differences and choose to stay together because we really like that person and we want to help, we want to be their companion during this life's journey, but we also have to be able to accept and forgive shortcomings that they have. That's the real key to a marriage that lasts. But Minister Plump, as an elder and one who has experienced life enough to give you wisdom, what would you say that you learned about personal relationships, and what's the best reason to select someone that you think will be a lifelong partner?
Raymond Yashlon, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. Good morning, beloved. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm fantastic, too, just like you. And Brother Kareem, who is fantastic. Yes, I've been enjoying you all, especially, and thank God for the female solution. The real essence of everything that you all said is God, is God's will only. And I've been listening for quite some time. Brother Kareem stressed the fact that willingly or unwillingly, you know, God's will only is going to prevail. And you and Brother Kareem is right on top of everything when you say education is number one. And our people do need to be educated. You know, some of the scripture says for the lack of knowledge, our people would be destroyed. However, the Harold Washington Foundation, we are hiring 100% of our people. And a major reason is because of education and because we are willing to share knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and truth, which is the greatest. As Mama D said, and you all have already laid down a seed between both of you. We are one. A lot of people don't know that healing equals 23. And all of us is really the same. There's no big eyes and little U's, and our children is really the fruit of our. We must give them love, and that is the greatest solution. And I've seen my parents, I've seen my grandparents, I've even seen my sister, and I've seen myself. We a house is made of love, you know. Not only a house is made of love, but also a home is made out of love. So this is where I, from my experience, you know, become my best teacher. We all have experienced some pain in life in order to gain some knowledge, which, you know, beating people, as you say, that's not the solution. That's not really loving people. Loving and teaching is a must that we must reform. In other words, we must educate and re-educate our people, like what Chana, you said, did too, in terms of, I remember Malcolm X said that that our children is the passport to our future. And I remember Mayor Harold Washington said the whole community. So we are pumping up Chicago, America, and the world. And peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we must teach people about your higher self. Your higher self is your God self. Your lower self is the immoral of any and all human beings. I've enjoyed this conversation. I know that love is the real solution. You all have added that too to the conversation. So, yes, ma'am. I've seen myself go 30 years with my wife, one of my wives. Otherwise, in the experience of pain, I had to get a divorce. And I've seen my mother and my father go 40 years, my grandmother and grandfather, they went 50 years. And then we encouraged my baby sister, and she went 50 years in a marriage. So we learned to stick and stay, like you say. we're going to learn better, we're going to know better, and thank God for the female solution. We love you. Keep up the good work. Yeah, you all got it. I mean, you all are a part of the healing for our whole community, which is the whole world. And I thank you for giving me a little something to say and having a part of the platform with you all. You all is really the 23 solution, which is a part of healing for the whole world. So thank God for the female solution.
And thank God for you, Minister Plott. We appreciate you so much, and thank you for sharing your wisdom. You know, we have elders among us who have lived enough life that they now can share the wisdom of their experience. So we appreciate Minister Plott for sharing the wisdom of his experience with us so that we can reflect. Well, let's go to our sister. 773-801 Naida Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on the Female Solution.
Grand Rising to you and Brother Kareem. It was nice hearing a brother and a sister dialoguing this morning, even though it was a little off topic. You were dialoguing. And that's something that a lot of people don't get to experience, a male and a female dialoguing. So thank you for that, Brother Kareem and Sister Naima. Because, you know, those are the kind of things that make a relationship work, when two people can dialogue and communicate. It, you know, not the monologue, I'm just going to talk to you, and you just got to listen. But, you know, like, you can listen and respond on topic and keep it flowing without conflict. That's so important.
Yeah.
You know, this is the second day of African American History Month, and I want to add a clip that something that happened in my life. One day I was talking to my husband, former husband, and I was serving him a salad. And he said, "You know what, Maika?" He said, "Did you know that no matter how good your food looks, no matter how tasty it is, no matter how good it smells, you have to have a strategy for shit, because that's what it turns into." And he said the same is true of relationships. He said no matter how much you like a person, how much they like you, how much time you spend together, how long you've known each other, you have to have a strategy for conflict. And you know, that always reminds me, that was by Reverend James L. Bevel, that's what we don't have in relationships. We don't have the strategy and the coping skills and the tools for conflict resolution. Because sure enough, conflict is going to come up between two people at some point. There's going to be a difference of opinion. There's going to be somebody's not going to like something that somebody did or said. You know, and so you have to have a way of resolving those issues that show up. And that's what's missing in so many relationships, as I witness relationships today. People don't, and you can't, forgiveness is one aspect of conflict resolution. Compassion, empathy, you know, these are things that have to be a part of relationships as part of the character developing aspect. One of the things that I've noticed that is not stressed enough in relationships, modern day relationships, is that principle called loyalty. Loyalty take a back seat in a lot of people's relationships, as people don't even have a clue of what loyalty is or how to be loyal. Not loyal to somebody doing something criminal or negative or violent, but loyal to principles that the person is engaged in, loyal to the relationship itself. But that begins within the self, because you have to be loyal to yourself. It all begins with the self. The self is the most important aspect of all relationship, because we have to relate to our bodies. We have to relate to ourselves. We have to relate to our extremities. And a lot of times we're not doing that well. Like, a lot of people are not relating to themselves well, because they're not, I heard today about, they're talking about giving vaccines to infants 6 months and up. You know, that's not intelligent. That's not intelligent at all. You're teaching that child to relate to some kind of external source to protect them. Why not teach the child to know about relating to the soil, relating to the air, the water, so that it's healthy, so that it can bring health to the body? And so we pass up on the things that need to be focused on so often, and we need them in our relationships to sustain our relationships. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that and invite people to get a February African American History Calendar at anewbeing.com, A-N-E-W-B-E-I-N-G.com, and there'll be a link right there that you can put, button you can push, to take you right to the February free download. So get it so you can follow us through the month in terms of those celebrated people and things that happened during February. February is a rich month. I mean, it's so full of powerful people and things that have happened. Like today, I just want to go over what happened today in African-American history. In 1914, William Ellsworth was born, a great artist. In 1950, John H. Franklin was born, a former president of Phi Beta Kappa. In 1935, Christine Tassira was born, a Guyanese economist, politician, and writer on slavery. And in 1952, Pete Brown was born. He was the first African-American to win a Professional Golfers Association tour. And in 1977, Shakira was born, the Colombian singer, songwriter, and dancer. And the principle of today, because each month on the calendar, each day is a principle. Today's principle is joy. Yesterday's principle was love. And tomorrow's principle is courage. And ooh, we wonderful. Want to embody these principles. And, you know, as I hear about things like Mississippi not allowing African-American history to be taught, Texas not to be allowed African-American history to be taught, it makes this calendar and this information so much more vital, because we're going to turn it into an app. And you can't ban an app, so you can get this information about the things that have happened in African-American history, and you can pass it on from generation to generation. In terms of your family history, too, that's important. You need to make that a part of it, of your understanding. History is so important. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom this morning and your dialogue. It was very inspiring and peaceful.
Well, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for listening and adding your wisdom. You know, it's amazing what happens when we learn a simple thing like listening to another person's thoughts. So now the thing that the speaker said, and I think if we think about this, we can realize where we need to transform our relationships. Whenever you have a thought that another person is not as valuable as you, then that manifests in your treatment of them and even what they have to share in terms of their thoughts. So a philosophy, even a spiritual teaching rooted in the thought that perhaps a female is of lesser value, is going to create a relationship between a male and a female in which one does not respect the other's thought.
That's right.
The idea is a woman isn't supposed to say something that her husband doesn't like, or if she does, he can hit her. That's a very unloving thought. And it doesn't enhance the relationship, nor does it add to the spiritual growth of either party. So at the foundation has to be understanding that all beings are of equal value. Now, when you have that understanding, then how that is expressed is that expressing their thoughts, knowing that they're not going to be attacked. You might disagree, but you can choose to respect the other's point of view. Now, Brother Kareem and I, we're both very verbose. You know, we express thoughts a lot. We talk and can express our ideas, but we also can listen because we respect each other's point of view. So even if he says something that I might not totally agree, I'm not going to say, oh, no, you can't say that. And even if I say something, he might say, oh, no, you can't say that. We're going to listen to each other, express our entire thought, and listen respectfully. And even if we disagree, we would not disagree in such a way that negates the other person's right to their belief. So no one will ever hear an argument. You'll just hear a sharing of thoughts. And that's how you relate to those that you respect. So when respect is at the foundation, you can have disagreements. You can have differing opinions, but you will not have unloving behavior. So
let me add to that. You're absolutely right. That's what we demonstrated. You two demonstrated this morning in your dialogue. And, you know, that's what's needed in the classrooms, male, females who are able to work together so children can see adults coming together, talking, and interacting and working. Because if they don't see it in the home, and, of course, in the single-family homes, they're not going to see it because there's no male or there's no female there. So we need to put that in the schools.
That's true. And when you have schools where all you have is females, and then you have homes where all you have is females, and the only males ever come in are law enforcement coming in with hostility, how will a child learn the harmonious relationship between male and female?
Right.
So since they haven't seen it, they don't know how to create it. And all they're responding to the hostility that they have received in way of attempt to control them, but no one's listening to them.
Right.
So it's the same thing. If I don't value you, then I don't listen to how you feel and how you think. I just beat you down and tell you what you can't do. So when a child comes into this world, as you said this often, the act of creation, that the act of intimacy that opens the gateway to the child, when that is done in a loving environment, a loving relationship where you value the person, then when the child is born, the child is born into a welcome environment that says, we value you. Now we're going to lovingly guide you in your growth, encourage you, and reinforce the idea that you matter. Your feelings matter. So when a child is raised in that environment, they're not going to go out and hurt others because they have not been hurt. They're not going to give pain unless pain was given to them. When we see children and somebody, yesterday, some crazy thing, some 11-year-old child stole a car and shot at somebody. Crazy. And people are all angry and upset. But we have to look at our collective society in creating a child who has inside of them a disregard for the lives of others because someone disregarded them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people looking at that says, well, no, what they need is more beatings. No, they probably had beatings. That's why they're doing what they're doing. If not physical beatings, emotional beatings. Just because you don't hit a child doesn't mean you haven't hit them emotionally, when we don't give a child access to creative expression, to attaining knowledge in an environment that is loving and encouraging. Instead, we want to send them to prison-like schools where they're forced to memorize useless information and then humiliated when they don't remember it and threatened that they're going to be nothing in life. That's a horrible atmosphere.
Yes, it is.
And no, they don't want that. That's why they're rebelling. That's why they're dropping out. It's hurtful. It's unloving. It's not education. It's forced indoctrination, and it's hurtful. So they're responding to all these hurtful environments. Home is hurtful. School is hurtful. The streets are hurtful. All they have is pain. Where is the love? So they're giving what we have given to them so we can look at ourselves and say, what are we doing to our children?
Absolutely.
Why are they anger and hatred? Why are they hurting people? How did we hurt them? We need to see it. We gave them violence for entertainment so they could get some type of stimulation from what? Seeing people get beaten and blown up and shot, and this is what we've given them to entertain them because we didn't want to spend time with them, talking to them, taking them out in the woods where they can watch the deer and the rabbits and watch the sunrise and see the leaves fall and change color and be in awe of the creative beauty and wonder. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to sit them in front of a screen so they can watch violence and be entertained. And now we're wondering why they're giving it back to us.
You're so right. Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening because that's the model that we gave them. We didn't give them the model of communication, sharing, loving.
Right.
Being kind and gentle to one another, being comfortable in our own skins. We didn't give them that. We gave them anxiety and fear and sadness and hurt. So that's all they know to express. And so we have to change. There's nothing to do but change. We're going to have to change. Change or we'll just melt into total chaos.
Yeah.
That's all they can come out of it.
Absolutely. So what we're experiencing is for our betterment.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really
we're
is.
We're seeing the mistake. Absolutely. As bad as it is, it's a good thing because it's teaching us. Once you learn a lesson, then it's incumbent to respond with a different choice so that you don't get the same outcome. You can't keep doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. If hurting our children is not making them better, then we need to stop hurting them. Then we need to give them love and not pain. It's very simple. So in order to do that, that means we have to change the way we see them, change what we think about them. Same in our relationship. If relationships in which you beat a person down and try to keep them from gaining knowledge, keep them from gaining skills, you can control them. If that's not working, if that's not making a loving, satisfying relationship for both people, then stop doing it. Do something else. Provide a loving environment in which you respect the other person, you listen to them, you accept their differing opinions, and you talk until you agree. And I think that was very wise what your husband said about having a strategy for conflict. The strategy for conflict has to be that you continue to talk and listen and understand the other person's point of view and then come up with a solution in which everybody is satisfied. There might be some compromise on both sides, but ultimately you all agree. Now this, when Native American council formed to resolve a conflict, this is how they did it. You talk till you agree. You talk until everybody's point of view has been heard, and then you consider what's the best way to do this so that everybody gets what they need, and it's fair, and it takes into account everybody's feelings because everybody matters. That's the way that you solve differences. When Benjamin Franklin her went to visit the Iroquois Nation, the five tribes that gathered together, and he saw that form of government. That's when he was inspired to create what is our present-day government based on representation and discussion and resolving a conflict based on people presenting their point of view. He was inspired by the Native American community, seeing that kind of democratic system, because Europeans were coming out of an autocracy. The king tells you what to do, and you obey. So the idea came from a people who were practicing this, a system based on respect for all, and it included men and women. Because anything that pushes one gender down is not going to work. It's not going to be sustainable because it's not based on love. It's not based on equality. It's not based on mutual respect. So what we're going to have to evolve into is a higher form of everything we're doing. And this is the new earth that's emerging. So whatever we're seeing now is to teach us where we need to stand. So thank you so much, Maika, for joining us today and adding your wisdom. Thank you, Minister Plum, for adding your wisdom, and for all of those who listen in. And thank you, Brother Kareem, always a wonderful co-host. And we are certainly inviting you all to come back tomorrow to join us for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And it's just to continue to shine. Be the light.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyabat, Japan, Aminato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jung Kunyong, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.